So, as a sign of God and of the nature of this kingdom, there are three things that stand out in this story that I think really open that up for us. First of all, I think we have to recognize in this story that it is that the partygoers are more than just partygoers. Think of this as an allegory. This party, with plenty enough for all by the end of it, is how it should be for all of God's people. But here is a situation in which the plenty has run out. And these are the situations we can then gather about which Jesus is most concerned. Remember, this is his first sign. Right out of the box, he's telling us, I'm concerned when the wine runs out. I'm concerned about situations of want. These are the situations, maybe, about which he is most concerned, because the kingdom of God is a party, is supposed to be a sign of abundance and God's love. And the second thing that I think we can gather from this story is that because that is God's nature, this to give this abundance, Jesus responds to the lack of plenty, the running out of plenty, not with just enough to finish the party. He responds by turning gallons and gallons of water into wine. If you look closely at the story, it says that there are 6 stone jars of water that are there for the rites of purification. And there's really only about a cup of water that's actually needed for the rites of purification. It's like a sprinkling. And that in the story you hear there's already 20 or 30 gallons in there. There's plenty if it needed to be turned to wine for the party to continue. It's already there in the jars. But he says to the steward, come in, fill those jars to the brim. Fill them up. Filled up, those jars would have held about 180 gallons total. So God doesn't want to just give us just enough. God wants to respond with extravagance to the need that we have in our lives. This sign that we see just a hint of at the beginning of Scripture in this lesson, Jesus says much more explicitly later when he says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. This is why he came, that our cup would overflow. Now, the third thing that I think this lesson points out to us, if we have eyes to see it, is that Jesus gives that lavishly, not so that we can just hold on to it for a few of us. Notice that everybody's already been drinking. They've had enough. It's okay. They could switch to water. And notice also that Jesus doesn't decide to respond to this lack by bringing just a special bottle of wine or a bottle of champagne to the wedding couple. He makes enough wine, lavishes it upon this wedding party so that it can be shared. He enacts this sign in a context in which it can be shared. So how do we respond? If this is God's nature, to be interested and most concerned about our lack and to respond to it by giving lavishly so that we have enough to share, how do we respond to a God like that? The fact that Haiti and the earthquake there has been in the news this week has given me a lot to reflect on. You'd think in so many ways that this is not a country that would have a lot to teach the world about abundance. But in my experience, it's sometimes the poorest people in the world who can be our best teachers in this regard. I spent 5 weeks in Haiti in 1997 when I was in seminary. And there are others in the parish who have had a chance to live in Haiti for for short periods of time or to visit there, and we can all attest that it is a land in want. Poorest country in the Western Hemisphere, as we've been hearing all week, it is hard to even begin to describe the level of poverty that exists in Haiti unless you've seen it with your own eyes. The streets are crowded with people just kind of squatting and making a living by selling little pieces of chiclets and water. It is an incredibly impoverished place. I went there for 5 weeks when I was in seminary to study the church and its role in the movement for democracy in Haiti, which had spent, of course, decades under oppression of dictatorship. And then they won democracy and then were overtaken by military coup and then back to democracy. And it's been this power struggle for decades and decades. And the church has continued through all of this time to struggle for freedom and peace and for democracy there. So I went to study that. And in so many ways, I expected to hear stories of poverty and brutality. And I did. I expected, though, in some ways, that what I would be hearing would be told to me with an effort to persuade us with how bad life was there, how bad it was, and so to enlist our help out of pity. But what I heard from the people of Haiti were stories over and over and over again of God's faithfulness in the midst of incredible poverty and suffering. What I heard were stories of people living out joy and gratitude and generosity. If ever a people could witness to God being there and providing when the wine ran out, it's the people of Haiti. Because the church has always been on the side of democracy there, it was often attacked. All of its institutions were under attack. And I heard stories about an orphanage that was burned in the middle of the night. The military had come by and set it on fire when all the kids were asleep. And yet, the people telling this story talked about how all the neighbors around came out of their houses and carried water up the street and ran into the burning building and took out the kids, and all of them survived miraculously. They told a story of God's faithfulness. They talked about the day that the military surrounded their church and invaded, came in shooting with machine guns, and how many people died, but how one woman named Esperanza, who was actually 6 or 7 months pregnant, was shot in the groin, bleeding profusely, and how the rest of the parishioners gathered around her, carried her to safety, tended to her, and how she gave birth to a young baby that lived. That baby was the birth of hope. That is how they saw it. Her name was Hope, and she had been able to give birth, and the baby had lived. These are people who understood that there are two things that we must do when the wine runs out. And there has never, ever been enough wine in Haiti. I learned from them that, first of all, we have to remember the times when God was faithful and be grateful. They have incredible proverbs in Haiti. One of them is, beyond the mountains, more mountains. This is the story of their lives. You get to the peak of one, and there's another one yet to climb. And yet, everywhere in Haiti, while I was there, and you can see it this week, you hear people saying, bon Dieu bon, God is good, God is good. Everywhere, people saying, God is good. And another one of their proverbs that I heard a lot when I was there is, remember the rain that made your corn grow. Remember and be grateful for what life there is, even in the midst of want. And we've heard that even over and over again this week in Haiti. People singing and marching in the streets, clapping long into the night, though thousands of people have died around them. The second thing I learned from the people of Haiti when I visited years ago is that when there is not enough, pitch in whatever, with whatever you do have. Share it, and it will come back to you a thousandfold. We have all seen pictures of and the fears of looting and desperation, and certainly some in these kind of situations will always look out for themselves first. But in Haiti, I met people who poured themselves out and gave whatever little they had so that their neighbors and they could live. What I saw over and over again in a place of extreme poverty were people of joy and gratitude and generosity. One day we were, this group of rich Americans, walking down a street in rural Haiti in the mountains, and we were thirsty and dirty and tired. And this man came out of his hut with a machete and knocked down out of his tree. He called us all over, and he knocked down out of his tree a bunch of coconuts. And we stood there and just drank the coconut water, and it's spilling all down, and we're laughing, and he's laughing, sharing what little bit he had with all of us. And we've seen that again and again this week. Before any foreign aid arrived, those Haitians were out trying with bare hands to uncover their loved ones and neighbors and bring people to life. These are Christians in Haiti, many of them, who took the sign of the wedding at Cana seriously. They understood that God is here to give abundance, to give life, and to give it abundantly, and that that abundance can be had in any situation. And so I pass that wisdom on to you that I learned from them. When the wine of life runs dry, remember the rains that made the corn grow and be grateful. Remember the times in your own life when God has provided and be grateful. And when you have that experience of the cup overflowing, when you have survived this last year without losing your job or losing your business, when there's excess to share, share it, and it will come back to you a thousandfold. Let's be as generous as we can be with the people of Haiti. They are our brothers and sisters, and God has called us to be with them. Amen.